Love taking so many of your calls and talking some footy with you on Midday Madness. It's always fun. Midday Madness again tomorrow from midday. So if there's anything in the world of sport that you want to discuss tomorrow, give us a call. We might sneak a call or two in this hour as well. But Matty Rendell is about to join me, and we'll also have a chat to Tom Mitchell from the Hawks later on this hour. And keep sending through your text, though. If you want to send through a Temper text, T-E-M-P-U-R, Temper mattresses and pillows like no other. That number, 0433981116. Read out a few of your texts a little bit later on. But Matty Rendell is on the line. Welcome to you, Matty. Great to have you back.
G'day, Dwayne. How are you going?
Yeah, good. What have you made of the first five rounds so far? Are you enjoying it?
It's been fantastic, Dwayne. I'll get to that in a sec. I just wanted to give a big shout-out to women's footy. I know everyone's been singing their praises since the season finished, but I watched a bit of it this year, and really staggering to see the change in the women's footy over, particularly the last 2 years. I mean, the body shapes from when they first came in changed dramatically. Realised how much running and they have to do. And I spoke to you, a couple of weeks ago about, just losing 2 kilos makes you a heaps better runner. So their body shapes have changed heaps. They've always had a crack from day dot. But their brand and their skill level has improved dramatically. And I find I watch it with a big smile on my face. And I'm trying to work out why. But the women playing this sport are so happy playing the sport. Their unbridled joy when someone does something good is unbelievable. I don't think we see it in any world sport anywhere, how happy they are for their teammates when something good happens. And I find watching it, you just sit there with a smile on your face. It's fantastic. I just wanted to say congrats to Brisbane Lion 2 and Craig Starcevic in particular. Now, Craig was at St Kilda when I was there doing strength and conditioning. Didn't quite work out for him there. But he's one of the really good people that I've met in footy. And, he's been a star up there considering how many players they've lost and to keep contending every year and to finally, to win away from home, the super effort. So congrats to them. The other bonus about women's footy is that I think that since it's come in, it's kept a lot of junior and senior clubs alive because of so many teams now of women's footy at footy club. So what's happened is all the councils have upgraded all the facilities. So that's a bonus. But two, if male numbers have dropped off, female numbers have surged, and, with their subs and bar takings and food and that, I reckon it's kept a lot of the junior and senior clubs alive. So that's the bonus we probably didn't see coming. So a great season for them. Looking forward to next year.
Now, well said, Matty. I agree wholeheartedly. And to see the growth factor be so enormous, and to, I know what you're saying about facilities, but families, I think everyone in the family can now enjoy footy. And I sometimes look at it, I've got a smile on my face too, but part of me also is a little embarrassed thinking, gee, why didn't we encourage this kind of thing earlier? Why didn't the AFL look at this 20 years ago rather than so recently? We're in positions where we could have encouraged that all of us. But anyway, we're going to encourage it now.
It was a big stigma, wasn't it? It was a big stigma because of how rough and tough 40 years.
Yeah.
But I think that people were just generally worried for their welfare. And anyway, we still worry for their welfare. We're worried for everyone's welfare playing footy because it's a dangerous game, really, when you think about it.
Absolutely. Have you made of... just speaking of other levels of footy, you've been watching the NAB League a bit as well. Nick Dacos, the first one to... Go on.
Yeah, I only watched the first game, Dwayne, against Sandy, which was the class act. Those two teams, they'll get a heap of picked out in the draft. Dakes has had 3 games, which I don't think we've ever seen in under 18 footy. 1-19 it is now. He's had 30, 30 and 40 and kicked about 10, but he's missed plenty as well. We've never seen that before. Interesting time for the NAB at the moment. So they've played their 3 games. The country is suffering a little bit, Dwayne, from lack of training, to tell the truth. So everyone's telling me the city's been not too bad. The country teams are struggling a little bit. So I think you'll find that second half of the year they'll be a lot better. But if Dake stopped playing now, he'd still be number one in this draft. So Collingwood knew that a year ago. I will give you the number one for next year, though, Dwayne. Yeah,
just before that, yeah. If Nick Dacos was eligible for the mid-season draft, would he be playing in the last half of this year?
Oh, absolutely. He'd play first game from the draft. He'd be straight in.
So you'd pre even straight in Collingwood's team, round 14 this year, you'd put him in?
Absolutely. He'd play for cert.
So let me advance that point. If we know that he's going to Collingwood, he is going to Collingwood. Yeah. Is there anything wrong with allowing them to get him now? Would that be?
I need to think about it. But does it affect the draft at the end of the year with teams whether they nominate and the point system? We'll see. Collingwood have. Oh, this is one of the great deals too, because Collingwood have traded their first round pick knowing those points weren't going to be any of use to them this year. Well, of course, they're going to be used to them, but they actually got a player in last year in the draft by trading that. I think that went to the Bulldogs, didn't it? In the Treloar deal, I think. Dwayne, someone someone listening, can they send a message in that if that was the case? I think it ended up with the Bulldogs, who'd be ecstatic that Collingwood are 1-4 at the moment.
He's that good, Nick Dacos. It's amazing because you told us this a year ago that he'd be that good. Yeah. But
the interesting, just before I go to next year, so we've got a bit of a problem here because clubs have dropped off a lot of their recruiters. I know at Collingwood, they've got two recruiters, Derek Hine and Ned Guy. All their part-timers that they dropped off last year, they're virtually working for nothing this year. But what's happening now is that all these kids in Victoria, they're going back to their schools, but there's a lot of 19-year-olds, why they increased it to a 19-year-old, that are going to go back to their local clubs and play for 4 weeks. Well, they're not going to get seen at all for 4 weeks. You haven't got the resources to be able to go watch these people unless you're particularly targeting a bloke. So, for example, down in my area, I live down at Parkdale. My old club is my boys' junior club was Morty Alec Brayside. So they've got two blokes who have jumped right into the top 10, which is a first for them, and probably going to get three drafted. So they're going to play, I think, Parkdale under-19s, so the Parkdale Vultures, you know, the senior club, under-19s, but they actually could be playing in the seniors, which is A2 Amateurs. I'm not sure where they're going to line up, but, Blake Howes and Callahan, I'm trying to think of his first name, I can't remember it off the top of my head, are the two I'm talking about. So they could play seniors. But the recruiters aren't going to be able to watch all these players, Dwayne.
Unless they get a heap of volunteers get a heap of people just to go out for the fun of it.
They've got a decision to make because they might decide for 4 weeks to go to South Australian WA every week and see those senior players play and not go to the schools. So all the kids are going back to their schools as from this week, and the others are going back to their local club. So really tough time for recruiters to cover this for 4 weeks. And, if some kid gets injured, you don't see him the rest of the year. You've had to judge off three games. So tough for them. Interesting 4 weeks. What also about next year, I'm going to give you an early tip for number one again next year. This is also a father-son.
Next year, not at the end of this year. This is at the end of next year.
2022.
Yep.
2022. So Chopper's Ashcroft's kid, Will Ashcroft.
Right.
I saw him play in the under-15s, Dwayne, in the schoolboys down at Launceston 2 years ago, and he looked a standout to me. He is a real runner, really skillful, great composures. He looks just a natural to me. And apparently, I didn't know this game was on. They had an under-17 Victoria Country versus Metro a week ago, and he dominated. So I think that... interesting for him, he comes from the Gold Coast, but by the time the draft comes around, he's been in Melbourne 3 years, goes to Brighton Grammar, if anyone wants to go watch him play on the weekend, Brisbane supporters. Right. But so he would have been under their not their NGA, their academy, entitled to go to Gold Coast Suns or Father
as well
Son
as,
Brisbane Lions.
Yeah, as well as the Lions.
As
okay,
well as Father Son Brisbane Lions.
Right.
But he's out of the Gold Coast Suns now because he's been in Melbourne 3 years, so he's eligible for the draft and he's not. He doesn't qualify for them, for Gold Coast Suns. So he can go to Brisbane Lions or they can choose to put him in the draft next year. So interesting times. There's been a few like that lately. Blakey, obviously, Bailey Scott, a couple that had multiple choices. So interesting to watch that the recruiters are stressing for the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, so he can go in the open draft and just be drafted by whoever takes him if he doesn't want to actually nominate a team. Okay.
If he decides he doesn't want to go to the Brisbane Lions, and I'm sure they'll be desperate for him, he just goes in the draft. And right here, right now, he'll get taken one in the draft.
Right. Interesting
stuff. Brisbane
will
be preparing now, doing exactly what Collingwood did last year, looking how can we trade out our first-round draft pick.
Yep. To make sure we get him. Matt Rendell with us. He sparked a few texts on the Temper text machine as well. T-E-M-P-U-R, mattresses and pillows like no other. About father sons. A couple here on Chris Johnson's son, Matty, must be, and Joe Macedi's son as well on the text. It's interesting, the stuff that you spark on the text. Always fun to have you on.
Look, I saw Joe Macedi's son a couple of years ago. I just saw the ones. He's got some talent. Chris Johnson's I haven't. So I'm trying to think. The older one, I did see a bit of it, but he'd be 20, 21 now. The younger one, I don't think I've seen a lot of either. No, I can't even remember seeing him. So I can't help you there. But Joe Macedi's I didn't mind. More of an outside player than Joe was very inside and really good at it. His son was, and I must admit, it's off a very small viewing. I think it was maybe once live, so...
Yeah.
But Will was a standout of the 15s. You don't always get the best players at the 15s because it costs you to go to it. It's schoolboys.
Yeah.
The AFL have taken the 15s back off the schoolboys, and the schoolboys, off the colleges, off the schools. But they've still got the under 12s, which they've always had. They've had 12s and 15s. So AFL have now got 15s, 17s, and 19s. So. I meant to say I got a bit of feedback. I got some feedback last week off about my Tim English story.
Yes, I hear.
I got the feedback off one of my recruiting mates from Collingwood, Adam Shepherd. Adam's got small man syndrome, but he left a message straight away. Give me a spray because he said, I mentioned I too many times and not we. I said, I can't remember, Dwayne. I don't know if you can. I said, you weren't going to pick Tim Lish. It was we, not I. And anyway, so I copped the feedback off Adam and did my 20 push-ups penalty. And I got to remember, no more I's.
Nice work.
Like
what have you made of the season so far in terms of what your eyes, speaking of your eyes and what the stats are telling you?
Well, I'm going to use a George Costanza line. We're back, baby. I think he actually said, I'm back, baby. Went in a bit of luck with the girls. The rucks are back, Dwayne. The ruckmen are back. And in vogue. I'm going to go through a few. Gorn Jackson, 3 ticks. These are all 3 ticks, I reckon. Martin English. Marshall Ryder, if they play together, are the two most important players at St Kilda by a million miles. Natanui Allen. I'm going to give Nankervis 3 ticks, but his ruck partner's Pickett at the moment.
Yeah, that's
I don't
funny.
Know if we could keep running with that. But here's some of the blokes that are doing a lot of the work themselves. Lysette. And this is not coincidental, but GWS are playing way better footy since Mumford came back in. He has set the agenda right from the start in both games. He's been fantastic. Sydney, how important has Hickey been to him? A massive loss he's going to be. He's been huge. Grundy was back to his best on the weekend. He's had a reasonable, pretty good year. Not his normal great year, but it's still a long way to go. How big a loss is Witsit at Gold Coast? Huge. How big a loss is Draper at Essendon because Wright isn't cutting at the moment when they had to play Cox in the ruck in that game, that tight game. I can't remember who they lost to. Was that Sydney? Yes, it was Sydney. A massive loss, Draper, and they haven't got a really good replacement for him yet. Darcy at Frio with lob back in. Darcy, how good's Darcy been?
Yeah.
And going forward and kicking goals. McInerney's been great. Goldstein, usual standard. And O'Brien and Frampton have been really competitive at Adelaide. Pitnet, question mark, Carlton, been competitive, but doesn't give you much else. And McAvoy, he's never had his pants pulled down by like that in his career by Gorner last weekend. So Stanley, oh, God, it's the same old Stanley.
Well, that's why this was the story from Peter Sumich, I think, no, it might not have been Sumich, I shouldn't put his name up, but someone in the West said a couple of weeks ago that Geelong might be able to target Darcy, given he's from the Western District.
Yeah, so that was a lot of talk about that. But so I've gone through virtually every club there. How influential have they been this year? And I was just thinking, the whole thing, I feel like I'm back in the 80s, Dwayne. So the ruckmen are hugely influential again. And the top five goal kickers in the comp are all key forwards. This time last year, I reckon they were all small forwards, the leading goal kickers. So why are the ruckmen... I'm trying to get my head around why the ruckmen have been more influential. I'm not on my own here, am I? I think most people would think...
Is it because this is a good batch?
Some of them are having outstanding years.
Is it because it's a good batch of ruckmen we've got in the competition? So good ruckmen are always good, or do you think it's because the game's changed? Yeah, that's true.
Well, I'm starting to think that because there's more space, the ruckmen are into more space and they're getting used more. Or maybe they've got more energy because they don't have to do 85 stoppages a game. And maybe they're running around the ground more.
Well, they're not coming off as much because there's this interchange too. So maybe they're pushing forward and showing us what they can do as forwards.
Well, no doubt about that. But, you know, they're kicking goals. Gordon Jackson, super dangerous. Martin doesn't go forward, but English has been great.
Yeah.
Natanui, they don't play forward because they got four gun tools anyway. But interesting. I'll have to come up with a better solution than what I've given you there.
Let me throw that one at you. They're not coming off as much, so they're actually getting a chance to be more influential because they're out there for a longer part of the game time and maybe pushing forward to be a bit more dangerous. And what you're saying, I mean, English is sort of a ruckman, but he's not a ruckman this year. He's only rucking 34% of the game time.
Yeah.
But he still allows them to actually, when he goes to the ruck, have an impact and have an impact forward. So you're right about the goal-kicking ruckman. I love it, and I'm glad you've raised it, Matty, because you were one of the greats. What, did you kick 11 in the game, or was it 9?
No, it was 8, Dwayne.
8, sorry.
Quite on Dempsey, too, mind you. Well, he was at the end of his career.
Don't water it down.
But I'm really interested to see, and I'm not hanging my hat on it, are they going to get any Brownlow votes? Because is it Scotty Wine, the last one, about 91?
Yeah, Adam Goods probably rucked the year that he won one of his Brownlows as well.
Yeah, that was a different ruckman, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was different. Yeah,
exactly.
What have you made
out of necessity?
Yeah, that's true. What have you made of Carlton?
I don't know if it's their brand or their leadership. I mean, so a wise old recruiter, Francis Jackson, from Richmond, told me once, he said, every player that gets picked is capable of playing AFL football. And I looked at him and I said, you are right, because you see these players like Andrew Scott, from Western Bulldogs, for example, at 25, gets picked at 25, plays the first 5 games.
Yeah.
There is a lot of players capable of playing AFL footy if they find the right environment. The coach loves them, plays them, gives them a chance. So I wrote down to hear about, you know, Soss copped a bit of flack from his drafting and trading and all that sort of stuff during the week. And they were right with where those players are now. But I've gone, they were better players than that in the draft. I mean, I always go, anything I'm talking about with players, I go off their best. If I've seen them play fantastic, I go, okay, I know they can do that. That's their best. So I want to know why they're not at their best. And there's obviously a multitude of reasons for that. So I would be asking not so much about the players, but internally, what's going on there. I don't know anything about David Teague. I don't know much about his assistants and what they're doing there. But is the first thing you got to do when you get all these good players in, which they're good players, is get your culture right. It's absolutely essential. I think I've spoken about that before. Mm. I spoke about the Bloods in that a few weeks ago, didn't I? Or last week it was, I think. You've got to get your culture right, and you've got to get everyone on board. Not everyone looks on board to me, and I would just question what they're doing around the culture. And I heard on one of the shows, I think 360, they said they've got someone internally doing their leadership at the club, and they said they should go and get someone from outside, and I reckon that's a great idea. I can't remember who said that. It might have been Robbo, actually.
Yeah.
But that's where I would go around that, because they look a bit disjointed at the moment. Mind you, not too many teams are going to beat Port Adelaide this year.
Yeah, but that's right.
You know, but too many of their players have gone backwards. Like Sam Doherty's gone backwards. I know he's come off a couple of knees, but, you know, he's played a year, I think, back now. But he looks a shell of the player. Too many of their players look a shell of the player. So I'm looking internally at their culture and what they're doing there, more so than the players. They look a bit gun-shy to me, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Hey, before I let you go, Matty, a word on Collingwood. Should they keep Darcy Moore forward? What should Collingwood do next, and what your thoughts
are?
Oh,
well, now they should. I mean, they should. Look, last weekend, I wouldn't have done it. You know, Eagles kicked 12 of their 16 goals from their tools. They're kicking goals for their tools week in, week out. He's one of the best two defenders in the comp. So he kicks three. Does he take out five or six? Not necessarily his opponent, but, you know, intercepting other kicks. So I would have waited another week because now you've got your opportunity. Essendon, I mean, they're playing Francis as a key back. He shouldn't be playing as the main key back, as good a job as he's trying to do there. But he's going to struggle on a Darcy Moore. They've got Adelaide the following week. Going to have young kids, or Duday, and I know he's been around a while, but he's been injured a lot. Playing back, and they got North the following week, who are devoid of key backs. So the next 3 weeks, absolutely. I don't know how they cover for Howe, though. Obviously, keep Mark Keane in, but they don't need as many tools now. They probably only need Roughhead and Keane against these three teams, because they haven't got a lot of tools like West Coast had. So definitely now I would be looking at and allowing Mark Keane. And I think Will Kelly, they said, he might be ready to go too.
Okay.
So I'd be playing Will Kelly and Mark Keane back there, giving him every opportunity over the next 3 weeks, and see if they can cement their places here and keep more in the forward line. And I would be rucking him with Grundy and changing him forward like all those other teams are doing with their two rucks at the moment.
Yeah, nice. And Kelly does look like he can play. Let's hope he gets some luck. Matt, great to have a chat to you. Always good to do it every week. Pick your brain. The text machine's going crazy again. And we'll talk again next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. Much appreciated. Speak soon.
Matt Rendell, part of the SEN team this year, as he was last year. And boys, he's been a great addition. We'll take a break. A couple of your calls, a couple of texts. Tom Mitchell as well. Hawthorn star not far away. So plenty still to come on Dwayne's World.